There's now officially less than 1 month to go before legalization. Do you know where your province, or town, or neighborhood, or apartment building stand on pot? You probably don't. If two things have become clear over the summer, since we launched this podcast with an episode about everything that needed to be done before October 17th, it's that the ramifications of legal marijuana are going to be felt everywhere, and they're also going to be very different depending on where you are.
A massive shift tonight in how legal marijuana will be sold in Ontario. Private retailers will be able to sell
massive
cannabis
amount of legislation
in their own
here,
stores.
Three bills touching on, I think.
The AGLC will make sure retailers follow strict province-wide regulations.
If you consume cannabis, you cannot
legal in exactly 5 weeks today. Will people stop using their dealers and turn to the lawful side?
So now that we're into the home stretch and everyone from growers to retailers to packagers to bylaw officers, cops, parents, employers, and of course pot smokers are trying to figure out how this is going to go down, it's worth zooming out for a second and asking very simply, is Canada ready? And if not, what does that mean on the ground, on your street? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
There are a whole bunch of new rules and confusing regulations and contradictory conditions that legal pot is going to exist under. It's not free for all.
Jason Markusoff of McLean spent a huge chunk of his summer working on a massive project. He was charting decisions made by governments large and small across Canada to try and paint a comprehensive picture of the vast differences between what legal pot looks like in, say, Vancouver versus Halifax, or Moose Jaw versus Mississauga. So Jason, my first question is this: how ready is Canada for legal pot?
It really depends where you are in the country. Some provinces like Quebec, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick have gone totally the government route, and they have stores ready to open. They're going to be 20 in Quebec, 20 in New Brunswick, fewer in Nova Scotia. Where you're seeing a lack of readiness is in the provinces that have gone the private sector route, where they're allowing private sector entrepreneurs or major corporations in the pot sector to open up. In Alberta, they're about to license more than 200 of them, in all likelihood, province-wide. But when it comes down to the local level, not all the cities have been ready to license them or get all the red tape clear. So some will open, a lot will have to wait. And then there's BC, which you'd think would be the
right
big province of, you know, it is the first province you think of when you think about Canadian pot. Well, they only started their licensing program in August. So it's not clear how many stores they're actually going to have ready up against some of the existing pot dispensaries throughout the province. And they also have a provincial store program ready, but they're only going to open one in the bustling metropolis of Kamloops.
That's the only provincial pot store in BC.
That's the only BC cannabis store they're going to have at the start. Ontario, of course, is going to have nothing but an online service until April.
How does it happen when everybody kind of gets the news at the exact same time that October 17th is a date? How are so many provinces so far away from each other when it comes down to the number of stores, the location of stores, whatever is left to be determined?
Oh, federalism. Sweet, sweet federalism, the foundation upon which our fine country exists. That's basically what we're dealing with here. Certain provinces have their political attitudes towards cannabis. Some of them will have political attitudes towards running liquor store systems. Ontario, you know, they were used to having the LCBO, everything provincial run. They're starting to open up a bit. And the Wynne government thought they'd go the same way with cannabis. Doug Ford took over, and now they're turning back the clock and starting over again, but not till April. In Alberta, they got rid of provincial liquor stores 25 years ago. It seemed second nature even for a NDP government to go the private sector route, so they've been licensing quite liberally. I mean, in Alberta, I'm going to have a marijuana shop three blocks away from me, and I live in the suburbs, and I'll pass two liquor stores on the way there. It's going to be very different in Quebec, where there are going to be 20 stores for the entire province. And in BC, one of the things people tell me there is that the NDP government there that only got elected in the middle of the legalization regime last year has been so busy with the housing crisis, multiple years of forest fire and wildfire problems, that this hasn't been on the front burner for them.
What role does the federal government play in this? I mean, they sort of mandated that it was going to happen on this date. Have they been doing anything to make sure the provinces have something available, to make sure that there's a framework in place? Are they dotting any I's or anything to try to get this all set up on time?
They have certain roles in the system. They regulate the producers, the companies that are actually producing the marijuana. Health Canada is licensing them and giving them the ability to sell to the provinces. They've mandated that all the provinces have something ready. So some are doing the bare minimum. The other thing that the federal government is doing is, like they do for cigarettes, controlling the packaging. They're going to look a lot more like cigarette packages than they do, say, beer or wine.
So here's my question then, because we started this podcast on June 25th, and we had your colleague John Geddes on to talk about, this was right after the date had been set, and we sort of knew that October 17th was coming, and we asked him kind of like, well, what has to happen between now and then?
Every province is starting to roll out its system. The private sector players are trying to get their piece of that pie. Municipal governments are looking at where exactly are these stores going to go, and it's hard to talk about this stuff in a coherent way because, as I say, the rule book differs wildly from province to province, but there are all kinds of little local struggles now. But well, where will the weed store go in our town or in our neighborhood in a city? Every place that that's happening, you're seeing it shake down just a little bit differently from place to place.
And it seems like we're talking about the same issues. Did anything get done this summer?
You know, when I was writing this story and researching and hearing about all the levels of unreadiness toward October 17th, I thought, thank goodness we didn't do this on July 1st, because we would have been even more unready. Over the summer, we have seen cities and provinces forwarding their licensing program, approving stores, getting them ready. A lot of stores are under construction. New Brunswick was showing off their stores back in June. But for some of them, like British Columbia, the late start was an omen in a way.
So you kind of looked at the status of legalization in every place in Canada, from provinces to some towns and communities. When you zoom out and kind of look at the country as a whole, what stands out to you?
Your experience on October 17th is going to depend profoundly on where you happen to live. You're going to have more stores in Calgary in all likelihood than you will in the provinces of Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec, and Nova Scotia combined. In Vancouver, you're likely going to have the same sort of marijuana shopping experience you have now, where there are these illegal dispensaries and the province isn't so quick to close them down. In Montreal, you're going to probably face long lineups at the few pot stores that there are. It's going to be very, very ragged. You're going to see stores opening up over the course of the next several months, past October. Some of the stores won't be ready. You'll see enforcement regimes rolling out. This is going to be a very ragged and phased approach. October 17th is almost like a soft launch date for legal marijuana.
If you're a company that's producing recreational marijuana and you aim to do it nationally, how do you navigate that?
With a lot of patience.
You've talked to some of the companies that are trying to do that.
Some of the companies that are on the retail side, yeah. I focus is more on the retail side. The production side is a whole different kettle of fish that I'm doing some work on for future stories. But in terms of the retail side, it's confusing for these companies. They have to roll with completely different punches. These companies have to figure out what the provinces are each doing, and then the cities. The municipal rules can be as tangled and as unique as the provincial rules. I spoke to one company that had been sitting on this one prime strip mall space for quite a while. They apply for it, and then council comes in and says, actually, we don't want to have stores too close to payday lenders or pawn shops, lest people cash their check and spend all their money on marijuana. So this chain's proposed store was refused. What did they do on appeal? They actually took over the lease for the other store, because there's that much money to be made on this. Companies are willing to be patient with the weird, confusing, contradictory rules that the provinces and municipalities will have, because there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
How minute does it get in terms of things that have yet to be decided? Because I know provinces and how they're going to sell it are one thing, and on a lower level you get down to cities and how they're going to enforce it. It goes down to bylaws, right?
Absolutely. At the city level, it's bylaws and rules, and the city bylaws don't just cover zoning. They cover where you can consume it. In some areas, like in Ontario and Quebec, the rules are largely set about consumption by the province. But elsewhere, we're seeing cities enact their own rules. In Nova Scotia, they decided to go one step further than just banning consumption on the streets. They decided, well, because it's so tricky to determine what the cigarette smoke is and what cannabis smoke is, let's just ban smoking altogether. So they're bringing in a whole smoking ban on streets. But they realized that you actually can't ban this stuff entirely. You're going to have to create places in the city for people to smoke tobacco or smoke cannabis. So their debate where to put these cannabis smoking zones. They did the same thing in Calgary, where they proposed 4 designated cannabis smoking zones throughout town. But surprise, surprise, people did not want pot smoking zones in their backyard. And there was a huge protest, and they've been ruled out. Municipalities are governing and provinces are governing where people can grow. The feds allow you to grow 4 plants in your home, but there are a whole bunch of rules that the provinces and cities are putting around that. There are a whole bunch of new rules and confusing regulations and contradictory conditions that legal pot is going to exist under. It's not free for all.
So here's my logical follow-up question. If you've still got bylaws and enforcement and things like that being decided by the city, how do you get that information finalized and into the hands of police officers and municipal officers and get them trained on it so that they can enforce those things in less than a month?
You've hit the nail on a very large challenge for this. In a lot of the areas, the police are still training. Somebody from the RCMP was among the number of people I spoke to for this article who described this whole thing like learning to fly or building a plane, when you're already flying in midair. Seems like a lot of them are going to take a very much a wait-and-see approach to a lot of this. There's a huge gap in the number of officers throughout the country who are trained to properly detect whether people are, in fact, intoxicated. And then there's this new device, the Draeger 5000, which was only approved by the federal government a few weeks ago. They're not cheap. I heard they're $5,000, and you have to train up people on them. You have to test them out. And there are some municipalities that aren't even bothering this. The Ottawa police recently said that there's just too many question marks around these devices, so they're going to go with tried and true methods of trying to gauge whether somebody's driving while high. So we might not see that many arrests for drug-impaired driving, at least not ones that can stand up in court.
Right, and if the people smoking pot don't quite understand where they're allowed to smoke it and the cops don't understand where they're allowed to stop them from smoking it, then what's the point in having the laws?
In some cases, these are going to be laws that are meant as recommendations. In the same way that cops in most of the country don't ticket for jaywalking, Halifax police and Halifax bylaw enforcement officers say that they're not going to go hardcore on this. Because if you do go hardcore on arresting people or ticketing people for smoking, it's like ticketing people for public intoxication. That tends to be a penalty on the poor, on the homeless. And a lot of municipalities don't want to do that. I get the sense that there are a lot of people out there who will think it's off to the races and you can smoke up wherever.
Is there any way that this could have been done better given the time frame? Or is this, like you said, just a function of the way our government is set up? Is there some place where we kind of lost the plot and should have been following it? Did you get any impression from anyone you spoke to that, you know, if we only had of done this or given us a longer lead time or had more direction, that we'd have more of a set system in place?
You know, that's a really hard one to answer.
Yeah.
The businesses would like, of course, far less regulation. A lot of people, especially seniors, and they're the ones that tend to be vocal and tend to vote, are wary of marijuana legalization. So the politicians want to make sure that people don't think it's going to be reefer madness and people all stoned in the streets and stoned in the roads and stoned at work. So they want to put some regulations on this. Federal ads for this are according to some marijuana advocates, are very alarmist. What I hear from a lot of people, both in government and outside government, is that the rules that we have right now are going to be the rules that we have for now. And people will sort of mellow out and relax a lot of the rules once we realize how clunky they are and how normal it can be that people just go home and have a toke after dinner.
It seems like as a culture, we've kind of come to terms with the fact that people smoke pot, and sometimes they do it in public, and sometimes they do it in parks, and et cetera, et cetera. But this is the first time we've now actually tried to codify it, and we don't know what we're doing.
Well, and there's a lot of people out there who don't understand that, who don't understand that for a lot of people, it's as natural as drinking one or cracking a beer in the backyard. For a lot of people who have grown up with the don't do drugs message or have grown old thinking that kids doing pot is a terrible thing, they don't understand that this has become a very normal thing in a lot of society. Because it's legal, because there's that stigma, on October 17th, that stigma is lifted. Politicians are trying to make sure that there's not a moral, social panic out there, which is why they get quite restrictive with their rules. Here's an example about how weird the rules are about cannabis. If I'm with my newborn and I want to go get a bottle of wine for dinner, I can hop into a liquor store with my kid in a car seat and go buy a bottle of wine or a six-pack of beer. Federal rules dictate that you cannot have any minors at all in a cannabis shop. If I'm that same person wanting to go get a gram for after dinner, I would have to leave my kid at home or leave my kid hanging out outside and then go into the shop, which is going to create a very confusing thing in Nova Scotia where the cannabis stores are inside the liquor stores. And I jokingly asked, and no, in fact, they're not going to have a babysitting service for minors on one side of the liquor store so they can go into the other side of the liquor store into the cannabis shop.
Can you just leave your kid in the stroller and like keep an eye on them from the other side of the shop? They probably frown on that.
That seems like it's a well-meaning solution. That's not that good.
No, probably not. If we're looking at the rules that are kind of the rules now are going to be the rules for the foreseeable future, what does that mean, especially in places where there aren't going to be either any storefronts or very few storefronts, to the dispensaries that exist now that are functioning as those storefronts?
There's a lot of question marks around that, and we're seeing different cultures play out. In BC, where at one point in Vancouver there were more dispensaries than there were Starbucks in Vancouver, you know, the national capital for Starbucks in Canada, the BC government is creating these enforcement teams, but they say they're going to take very much a lax approach, especially at the beginning, as the legal marijuana stores come open. Then they're going to start cracking down, as because a lot of the dispensaries that are right now sort of work in a gray market zone
right.
in Vancouver and in other cities are hoping to become legal. It creates a bunch of different rules and challenges, but, you know, again, there's money to be made, so a lot of places want to do that. In Ontario, we're hearing things from the Ford government about zero tolerance and fines in the six digits, but we're a month out, and we haven't heard a single thing from the Ford government on where they're going in this regard.
Is there anything, do you think, that could be done before October 17th that could help kind of bring us all more in alignment across the country, even just a smaller framework?
I think it's useful to play comparative cannabis shops, just for the public, to understand that there are different rules in different areas. I mean, in some ways, the nation will become this major experiment of ideas. Hopefully, as we see the legal regimes coming out, both in the retail, consumption, and otherwise, every government is already having to think about how they're going to adapt their rules right now, even as nascent or as ill-formed as they are. It'll be an interesting one, that's for sure.
It will. Thank you very much, Jason, for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Jason Markusoff, staff writer for Maclean's based in Calgary. That was the big story. For more from us, including a whole bunch of episodes we've done as Canada gets ready for this whole pot thing, you can visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also find us on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, we are wherever you get your podcasts, and you can subscribe for free. You can rate us, you can review us, and tell us what you think we should be doing. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.